This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Conversation with us is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
And Joa. And Jay.
And I'd like to take a second to say this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction, and its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. Dash.org. And we were talking in the last segment about a whole bunch of different things. I really like doing the show with you, too, so.
Oh, thanks, Bonnie. You, too.
Yay.
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. We were talking in the last segment about, well, specifically Dave Ridley brought up gun control in Israel. We're talking about the mass shooting in Maine and also the attack on Israel from allegedly Hamas terrorists out of Gaza. And I actually have this article to get into about...
And they probably were Hamas terrorists, seeing how Hamas is basically, like, you know, Mossad-sponsored, you know, or came out of some American, you know, Western-sponsored, you know...
And in Israel, apparently, I've heard.
Yeah, Mossad is like the Israeli CIA.
So they
need a boogeyman, they want a war, and but go on.
I just say allegedly because, I mean, I didn't even see the video of the little things you guys are calling ultralights. They look like a tricycle or a go-kart with a parachute on it.
I'll show you.
They can be kind of glide up into the air and glide down. But we're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. We have my dad. His name is Rusty in Alabama. Rusty, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for letting me call in. I got a couple things Jay was talking about. I was going to talk about the Second Amendment stuff that's kind of contrary, what's going on with Israel compared to our response. One is on the response from Israel, they were heightened into, hey, let's go ahead and bear arms. We should bear arms. And I think that's a good movement, obviously, for Israel. But here in the States, obviously, you're talking about the gun grabbers is, you know, they're going for that first.
Because of the main shooter?
One of the main things of coming out of the Second Amendment you guys were talking about. Also, I'm not sure if you guys caught this, but one of the kibbutzes, there was a 25-year-old. This is reported out of Charlie Kirk that I saw earlier for sure. But there was a 25-year-old woman who saved her kibbutz. It's a Jewish settlement of some of the small settlements that were close to the site where the Hamas came in. So she had weapons, and she was like one of the only kibbutzes or settlements that actually had weapons at all. And with 12 firearms, she was able to save her whole kibbutz. she was able to hand out to other citizens in her small area, and it could have been just by dozens.
That's
but they held out for 4 hours.
Wait, do you know, like, how we can look that up? Is there, like, a name associated to this?
It is. It's a Jewish name I do not know off the top of my head, but it's been reported out there. I know I heard it for the first time today on Charlie Kirk's show. So I mean, it's out there, you know, mainstream.
Yeah.
And that was like one of the main reasons why Israel, a big chunk of Israel, is like, look, it's night and day. They had guns. They lived. These people didn't have guns, and they did not live.
So is the Israeli government telling their people, no, you're not going to be able to?
No. They're starting to get on board because I think the popular swell is so egregious against right now. They're pretty upset about the government not knowing, you know, how could this happen? You know, that's been talked about, you know, day one. You know, this is inconceivable that some places didn't get help for 6 hours. There was just straight rain of 6 hours of terror. So they're like, they put their trust in the government, and the Israelis were okay to do that. But what happened is, well, they died. They didn't have a Second Amendment. So it's, you know, obvious lesson from most of us would agree here, obviously, that that would obviously not be the thing to do. But it's getting huge groundswell.
Have you seen any like photographs of these kibbutz? What they like? What these neighborhoods look like? Do they look like the brand new homeowners associations that are going up all around like Dallas and Denver and Phoenix?
No, from the stuff that I've seen, and I've not seen a picture of that one, so I can't talk for sure about that. It just they just look like older settlements. Look like smaller houses. Just some of the footage that I've seen, but I haven't really dived into too much. I don't want to get on, throw all that kind of stuff in my brain, all that, extracurricular stuff on there, but at the same time of the houses that I've seen, they look like modest, but they look older. They did not look newer.
And so they were able to shoot these people that were coming in on these little flying contraptions or people who
I don't know about that
ground.
Because, well, yeah, they would be on the ground where they try to advance further to the kibbutz where the kibbutz were. So they're a little bit like a few miles away. So the exact location, I can't swear on it, but that's being reported widely that, hey, you know, a woman that had 12 weapons dispersed them out to other people, and they saved their kibbutz.
Think about if anyone wants to know what a kibbutz looks like, and imagine just a small little settlement town, sort of isolated from all the other ones, and they're all kind of all tied into each other, like the neighbors and sort of that sort of thing.
Well,
and they're like,
yeah,
well,
they've been close in location. Yeah,
yeah, they're just like location. These little, you know, areas of neighborhoods. Then you have like, you know,
like
roads
1,500 square foot lots with like, you know, 1,200 square foot houses on them, something like that.
Like 30 acres with a bunch of houses on it.
Okay.
Well, you said that you
had a lot of them actually.
Something you wanted to say about the Afghanistan poppy fields?
Yeah, I got a firsthand account pretty much confirming or backing up the same story that Jay had. The poppy fields were definitely protected, and I did not do a tour in Afghanistan. My tours were in Iraq. But in Afghanistan, I know firsthand account, you know, would tell me of a situation that happened where Al-Qaeda individuals that say they were Al-Qaeda were working with special operators because there was communication that spilled over into the 101st. The guy that I know was in the 101st. First Brigade, I'm pretty sure, he had all of his radio communications spilled over, obviously different language, whatever they speak in Afghanistan, and they had Americans jump in on that conversation. Again, this was only 101st was just listening, like, what's going on? They jumped in and said, no, break, stop. And they saw the special operators, but they didn't see the Afghanis, but they were pushed off in the distance. They were going to ambush those guys in the 101st because they got too close to the poppy fields.
Right.
And so there was coordination with at least, I'm sure, our government, but, you know, I can't swear on that. All I know is I have firsthand knowledge of what happened.
Well, so you were listening to those radios, you're saying?
Yeah, so they have radio communications for their mission they go on. So they're going out and they're doing their patrols. They'll have a sector, the 101st guys will. or whoever, you know, whoever it was. In this case, it just happened to be 1st Brigade, 101st.
Well, I just want to go back for a second. I can guarantee you that the U.S. military is protecting poppy fields, because even a friend of mine in Jay's, should I say his name? Because he talks about it publicly. And he was literally ordered to defend the poppy fields.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know what unit that guy was in. I just know on this one, they happened along it because they were just part of their sector, and they were not ordered. The guys on the 101st were not ordered to guard that. But they found out that captain went back when he has to go to be debriefed on the mission. He was openly yelling and screaming at the battalion commander, which that never happens, and the battalion commander didn't fire him. He just pulled him off somewhere and tried to calm him down, explain him the situation. And that was all right in front of
people,
a sergeant. Yeah, that was in the dugway with us.
Oh, wow.
So he told me that, and I was like, wow. And that has to be true, because that is other accounts of other things that I've heard. So, to me, it backs that up tremendously.
It just, well, so, did you have more you wanted to say about the timing with the Maine shooting?
Yeah, I just thought it was really ironic, because I don't know if this is conspiratorial or not, but, I mean, MK Ultra has been around for a long time.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And they get people, and it's not hard to do this, especially if somebody's having mental health issues, somebody who's maybe alone. I mean, these guys that are doing this stuff, they can do it to anybody.
They can, you know, mess with people's brains and get them to want to shoot people.
Sound waves. They can do it through sound waves. They don't even need, you know, narcotics or anything.
I don't know if Joe was on the show with me at this night, but we were talking a few weeks ago about how during Waco they were using literal sound clips of, like, rabbits dying, because apparently they make a crazy noise, and just annoying songs that they play over and over at Waco to try to drive them out and drive them crazy.
How about the fact that, you know, social media is so intertwined in our lives, and if this guy was on social media, you know, this algorithm can figure out what triggers him,
right.
And, you know, and this is, like, the modern-day MKUltra, where they could just, he's going to go on his Facebook app today? Let's mess with them. And then they just put one thing after another of intense craziness, and next thing you know, snapped, and now he goes
and
nutty.
If he was already in the military, and he could have gone through, you know, MK Ultra type programs where they implanted, you know, code words into his brain, where if he hears this specific code word, then he goes and does a mass shooting, and then they
like
just
Monarch,
like the Manchurian candidate.
Yeah, like Monarch. But I'm not familiar with that. I was in the Army for 27 years, and I'm not familiar firsthand, definitely, or secondhand of any of that. But I know that stuff does take place.
Mm-hmm. And whenever the stuff came out about MK Ultra, which they claim it's a program that the military did do, and you can Google it, but they claim that they ended it. But I don't see any reason to believe them that they ended it.
Yeah, that was in the 1960s. Yeah.
Right.
So
they started off using military people as the test subjects, and then they started doing, like, just disadvantaged people, poor people on welfare, stuff like that, kind of like mentally already messed up people.
And that was a while ago, so you know they advanced that technology.
Right, and if at the very least they used those experiments and what they learned from it to figure out what they could do on a mass scale, like Joe was saying, to people on social media, and Jay was saying the same thing a couple segments ago. Anything else?
If it's an opportunity for a government to gain a military advantage, they're not going to let that go. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, don't let it go to waste.
If they can do it, they will do it, and they are.
Well, thank you for the call. I feel like we're all on the same page, basically. The government will do evil, terrible things to scare the population and get them to give them more control.
Here's the thing about defending your community and your own property. So, like, these guys on these ultralights, if they're flying over one of these cookie-cutter homeowner association where every house is just packed in there, you know, like these communities, like I was saying, that they build all around, like Phoenix and
apartment,
you know,
complexes.
Denver. Not so much apartment complexes. Mm-hmm. Basically, so Joa showed me a photo of a kibbutz, mm-hmm. and basically it's surrounded by what looked like alfalfa fields, mm-hmm. and, you know, in the desert, and it's flat, mm-hmm. and there's, like, no trees there. Probably the trees are, you know, trees that they brought in and put in their yards, you know, and these places are usually gated. So, like, there was a community I went and stayed in last year in Phoenix, right outside of Phoenix, Arizona, where it's all gated. And the houses, you know, have these concrete, you know, walls all between them. You'd have a hard time. You'd have a hard time walking a fat horse between, you know, the house and the wall on either side. You'd no way you're getting like a car or anything in a backyard. You'd have to, you know, if you had a big motorcycle that was all dressed, you'd have a hard time getting in a backyard. And, you know, this is kind of a luxury place, but to me, it looked more like an open air prison that could be gated off that could be sealed off real quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're in there, in that area, and a lot of these places, I'm sure these kibbutz are maybe sort of set up like a 15-minute city. There's probably like stores and, you know, vending maybe that you could do of some sort in there. I don't know what, but like, I know in these communities, like you go like just outside this gated community and there's like a Walmart, well, whatever, all the, you know, corporate big box
Dollar
you know,
General
stores, all that,
that
crap
they have in Israel, whatever that is.
So anyways, if you were up on one of these ultralights, you could just literally just buzz around like a bee for hours. You know, you want to put a big fuel tank on these things, you can go for a long time. You said they went 6-7 hours before they were shot out of the sky, guys, right?
I didn't read that.
Were they shot out of the sky?
I don't know if they were shot out or if they came down or whatever, but like you could just buzz around up there and just, you know, start taking, you know, and just take out whoever you see on the ground if that's how they're doing it. I don't know if they came in and they just landed and they started, you're like, you know, basically being on foot coming after people. But if you're like, if you're in one of these ultralights and you're buzzing around and you start seeing shots getting fired at you, you're not landing that thing anywhere near where those shots are getting fired and doing any kind of thing. But here's the other thing. So this woman had 12 guns. And like, so like you might think 12 guns is a lot for one, you know, man or woman to have. That's not nearly enough. Because basically in a situation like that, you need a gun for like all your friends. Your neighbors, especially if you're the only one that's armed. So the way you're really going to protect your community is if you and your neighbor, if your neighbors all know how to shoot your guns. Now, who are you going to let know about what you have for guns, know where your guns are, know where your ammo is, how to shoot your guns? People you trust. Well, one thing that we're really lacking, especially in, you know, urban America and hopefully not so much rural America. I know all my neighbors. Even the one I don't get along with, I definitely trust him with my gun if there was an invasion. So when you like train and even people you hang out with, like if you carry, I like the idea of like the people I'm around and the people I hang out with know how to use my gun. I want, you know, and I'll often be like, hey, you should shoot my gun if you're not, if you're hanging around with me, just in case.
Yeah, Jay invites me to go learn how to shoot guns at his house all the time.
So anyways, I want my friends, I want my family, you know, my peers, the people who are around me to like have an idea of how to use my guns. And I think that's very important because you need to be able to hand, you might need to be able to hand your neighbor, you know, your AR-15 or your AK-47 or your, you know, bolt action, you know, hunting rifle, or whatever, or your pistol. And, you know, all these guns sort of have little different features to them. There are people who can shoot one kind of gun and you hand them another gun if they're blindfolded and they wouldn't be able to shoot it, you know, for example. So it's important that who you hang around with, knows how to use your gun. And if you're hanging around with the kind of people that you wouldn't give your gun to, you shouldn't be hanging around with those kinds of people.
Oh, for real, for real.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. That's a great point about who you should hang out with.
Yeah.
Can I hand my gun to this person?
Right.
No. Yeah. Okay, I probably shouldn't hang out with them.
The company you keep. Well, we do have a story from the Foundation for Economic Education, FEE.org, about gun and gun control. I thought it seemed pretty interesting. It says, gun control advocates ignore what the founding fathers really taught. And it says, we don't have to guess. We don't have to guess
not
what
the... Not T-H-O-T, by the way, everyone.
Yes.
T-H-O-U-G-H-T.
Okay. What they really thought when they were writing, I guess. We don't have to guess what the founding fathers thought about gun rights. We can read what they wrote, is the subtitle there. He says, in all my years of existence, the Second Amendment of our Constitution has always been considered controversial. Opponents claim it is the cause of gun violence. Proponents assert that it helps guarantee freedom and safety. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. These 27 words have been the subject of much debate during the 20th and 21st centuries. Does it mean that citizens only have a right to own guns if the state has a well-regulated militia in place that they are a part of?
No, because it says shall. Okay, go ahead.
I don't think it does. Or does it mean absolutely that the right to bear arms should not be infringed, which is what it literally says? Perhaps it means that you can only use guns for hunting purposes, or you're not allowed to have anything more complicated than an 18th century musket, because that's what the founders had when they wrote this.
Yeah, but did they say just hunting animals?
Nope.
Okay, good point.
The last two questions don't seem to make sense when you look at the wording of the Second Amendment, but somehow opponents have made this a pillar of their arguments because they keep repeating and insisting on it on the grounds that, well, we don't know what the Founding Fathers really intended when they wrote this.
They intended that the people be so well armed and more powerful than the government and more powerful than anyone else, because purposes, you're not going to be getting invaded. You're not going to be getting invaded by Indians. You're not going to be getting invaded by foreigners. You know, the reason the Prime Minister of Japan said they didn't want to do a ground invasion on the United States because there'd be a sniper behind every blade of grass. I can't remember how many 100 million hunting permits. There's like something like 75% of the population has like a hunting permit or something in the United States.
That's right.
Or maybe half. But,
or it's at least a safety course or something like that.
It was actual permit for hunting, I
really?
Believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember the number. But anyways, here's the thing about a hunter. Every hunter's a sniper.
Right.
Every one of them. And so this is where and, you know, 75 years ago, you know, almost, you know, way more people hunted, you know, than today. But I believe the number is 100 million hunting permits as of 2019, you know, in 2019, essentially.
Is it a thing, like, to go to, say, China to go hunting?
Not that I know of.
I never hear about other countries and hunting really at all. But
maybe, like, Africa safari,
because it's
exotic and it's, like,
people
illegal.
From other countries going there to hunt, right?
Right.
Well, I'm going to go to the phones. Anonymous caller, or at least unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm in San Francisco, long time libertarian activist out here.
Starchild. Is that what you said?
Yeah, Starchild. Uh-huh.
Oh, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I just happened to tune in. First of all, I want to say how sad I was to see Ian going to jail, and Ari, of course, still being in jail. It's just such a travesty of justice. It really
is. Are you able to hang on till the end of this break? It's going to be about 4 minutes.
Sure.
Right, I'm going to put you on hold. 603-283-6160 is the phone number to call in with whatever's on your mind. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. The Coast Guard has joined the search for a suspected mass shooter in Maine. According to NBC News, they've deployed both sea and air resources. Lewiston, Maine residents remain in lockdown as authorities search for a suspected mass shooter. Senator Angus King calls it a dark day in Maine after the shooting that killed 18 and injured 13.
It's just been awful. We've got schools closed, colleges locked down. The manhunt has expanded.
Despite high gun ownership, Maine has low gun crime rate. The shooting took place in a Lewiston bowling alley and bar. The suspect, 40-year-old Robert Card, is at large and considered armed and dangerous. U.S. forces in the Middle East are encountering attacks from militias with ties to Iran. Pentagon spokesman Brigadier General Pat Ryder.
U.S. and coalition forces have been attacked at least 12 separate times in Iraq, 4 separate times in Syria.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Is the number for you to call to get in on the conversation with us. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight on Free Talk Live, it's me, Bonnie,
Joa,
and Jay.
And I would like to take a second to thank Glenn Nielsen. He's a gold-level amplifier with Free Talk Live. And an amplifier is someone who helps amplify, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. And if you'd like to learn more about that, you can go to AMPS, A-M-P-S, that's amps.freetalklive.com to learn more. And thank you again to Glenn Nielsen for contributing in that way. And if anybody is interested in joining, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. So thank you.
So one of our listeners, Rob, has sent me a message saying, and he sent me a link to a little video. I guess right now the police have surrounded a Maine shooter suspect home, according to ABC News.
Wow.
I'm not sure if he got found yet. I'm going to go straight back
his
to
home?
The phones.
That's what they said.
Interesting.
I'm going to go back to the phones. We have Starchild from California. Starchild, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, Bonnie, Joe, Jay, wanted to talk a little bit about what I see as the growing importance of the international aspect for the liberty movement, including for the Free State Project in New Hampshire, which I definitely support and I think is a great thing, and encourage everyone to, you know, move there if you can or support reports from Al-Sar. I think that, you know, the world is increasingly interconnected, and there's a lot of exciting things happening in other countries as well. I know people have been following, you've been talking about what's going on in Argentina, with Javier Milei. Who secured a place in the presidential runoff and got the support of the second runner-up. He didn't get the most votes. He did it in the primary back in August, right. The primary election. He came out as the number one candidate for the Argentine presidency.
We talked about him a few times on the show. He's basically like Argentina's Ron Paul right now. And I have an article just about exactly what you're bringing up. The third runner-up has extended her support to him, so it's looking pretty good for him on
this
runoff.
Is the results out yet?
Yeah, he didn't win, but there's a runoff.
Right, on October, what was it, just a couple days ago, 24th? Whatever the date was.
It was Sunday,
Sunday, right. He came in second, which was a little bit disappointing because they'd been expecting to come in first as he had in the primary. But basically the left-leaning statist, Peronist government, which is basically the folks who've been running Argentina for the past half century or so, Juan and Eva Perón famously, basically they pulled out all the stops in terms of both fear-mongering, saying, your pension's going to be destroyed if this radical, libertarian gets in, this kind of thing. And also they put through a bunch of tax cuts and other freebies at the last minute. To buy votes, essentially. I think the government clearly has no money to do. I mean, they have rampant hyperinflation there and cannot afford new spending, but, buying votes is a tried and true strategy, and apparently it worked to some extent. But fortunately, the La Libertad Avanza party, the Libertarian Party that Javier Milei heads, did pick up a good number of seats in the legislature, and going forward for the runoff election on November 19th, he's now got the support of the candidate came in third behind himself
The first two places, Milei and that guy who won first, they were close enough that it made it to where they're going to have this runoff. So considering that, and then the third place person who got like 20% or 26% backing him, it looks pretty good for Milei. I'm really interested to see if he's going to win. But going back to your main idea, basically you said you find it important for libertarians to pay attention to what's going on in the whole world. Why is that?
Well, not just pay attention. What I want to specifically talk about, actually, is there's an organization that I think is worth joining and supporting and trying to get membership back from New Hampshire. I just went to their website, and they have opened new membership applications, it says, for 2023-2024. The group is called UNPO, the Unrepresented Nations and Peoples Organizations, and they're unpo.org. But it is basically kind of an alternative United Nations. And they've got dozens of member countries and some former member countries that, were eventually admitted into the UN or dropped out for other reasons. But basically, there's a huge number of areas around the world, of occupied nations, one might call them, or startup countries. I would put New Hampshire in this category, potentially, as well as some other places in the United States, like the Lakota Nation or Hawaii, other areas that are seeking independence. And I think it really behooves all these areas to work together and libertarians to promote secession, decentralization on the philosophy that everyone everywhere deserves political self-representation. If you have a majority of people in a particular piece of land who want to secede and become independent, that should always be allowed. It's a fundamental civil right. And I think people like yourselves, myself, I consider myself a political dissident. I consider you guys political dissidents. And I think, things like the whole travesty of what happened with the Crypto Six you know, we should be reaching out to connect with the people who support democracy and freedom in other countries, including mainstream organizations, you know, like Human Rights Watch and such, to put pressure on governments when they, you know, go after dissidents like this, because it clearly was a planned operation, you know, with this FBI agent and everything. Phil Christiania, I believe his name was.
Phil Christiania, yeah.
Christiania, who, you know, clearly had a targeted Free Talk Live and Ian and people over the years, you know, tried to get Rich Paul to wear the wiretap and everything to spy on you guys. And,
yeah, tried to get Dave Ridley to talk with him, wouldn't agree once Ridley said, okay, I'll do it, but I want to film the entire thing.
Yeah, the international pressure angle, I think, is very important. It highlights the U.S. government's hypocrisy. They don't want that kind of exposure and embarrassment. No government does. And, you know, to the extent that international pressure can be brought to bear, I mean, we should say, you know, we want international election observers in this country.
You're talking about embarrassing government officials. Oh, gosh darn, did I embarrass that prosecutor today in court.
We do need to get into that.
Yeah, we need to get into that.
Can you remind me, or just restate it, Star Child? I didn't quite get the name of the organization you were talking about.
Yeah, it's called the Unrepresented Nations and Peoples Organization, UNPO.org. Again, it's kind of like an alternative United Nations for countries, groups that want to become countries who are not allowed into the United Nations, including some big ones like Taiwan is probably the leading example. It's a you know, de facto independent country. And
that's a good thing, not being in the UN.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, it gives a certain degree of protection, you know, against the predations of other governments. I mean, sadly, the U.S. government basically sold out Taiwan back in the 70s under Richard Nixon, although it wasn't democratic at the time, but at least it wasn't perpetrating the horrific human rights abuses that the communist regime was in China. And now Taiwan is fully democratic, and they're trying to stay free and independent. And Xi Jinping and the dictatorship of the CCP in mainland China is trying to, take over, and has, you know, been threatening military action and everything. And obviously we don't want, you know, the United States government involved in a war there, or more government-to-government aid. But we need, I think, the libertarian movement, the freedom movement worldwide needs more things like, there's another great group called Sons of Liberty International, founded by Matthew Van Dyke, who's a former journalist, an American journalist who went and covered the conflict in Libya and then in Syria. And he, you know, made friends there, and he actually got into the fighting and was a prisoner of war briefly in Libya, and then he went and fought against the Assad regime in Syria. Now he's founded this organization, which is basically a non-state, you know, alternative that's providing military training and support to people trying to overthrow regimes in other places. Because I think, just like we don't say as libertarians, you know, now, oh, it's enough to just say get rid of all the welfare state, you know, because our enemies already say, oh, you libertarians just want grandma to starve in the street. You're just a bunch of heartless capitalists. It's not enough to say, like, well, we need U.S. government support for these things to end. We need to have alternatives in place. Domestically, I think we'd be pretty good about that. But internationally, you know, libertarians in this country will still say, like, oh, well, the U.S. shouldn't be involved in Ukraine. The U.S. government shouldn't be involved in defending Taiwan or South Korea or whatever. And that's not enough. We need to provide alternative means in the voluntary sector.
It's all about really education.
People fighting for freedom.
I tend to agree. It's like, if people are educated to be able to do certain things, and thank you so much for the call tonight, Star Child, but I just think I enjoy the fact that people can call into the show and bring up organizations they think are doing a great job, and other people can hear it and join if they're interested. But personally, I think that the best thing you can do is give people the ability to help themselves. And it's like, I am so incredibly busy just running, like, my regular life. like, I don't have the ability or, and yeah, it's not like he's just asking me to do something for another country all myself, but it's just that if it's not something that I'm really called to do, I don't have time for it, mm-hmm. and I do lots of activism here, and I think a lot of people might see it that way. And the thing is, like, if you just teach, if you're making your goal to teach as many people as possible, don't hurt people and don't take their stuff, I think that can do a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say that the news is just giving everyone blips of information, and people are really just not looking into it and really absorbing a larger picture of, like, libertarianism. They always just want to go, oh, yeah, like you were saying, grandmother's starving in the streets. Well, you know how long that grandmother would starve in the streets if we had a libertarian society? Not very long. She'd be fed voluntarily. And
that grandma, you know what I thought about? Well, if your grandma is an a-hole, right, and, you know, or somebody's just been nasty and mean, you're probably, you know, not interested. I know people that got, like, a mom or, you know, a parent that they're like, I'm not interested in doing anything for them. They were horrible to me.
But then there's going to be people out there who are like, I am just such a good person that even if this old lady's an a-hole, I want to yep. put my time in
Absolutely.
And feed her. And the thing is, right now, people are being held back from being able to do that want to do things like that because, well, first of all, they feel like, oh, well, the government's already taking care of that. And second of all, if you would go out and just start feeding homeless people, you could get arrested.
Well, you're saying, like, a nasty grandmother and, like, she's just mean and, you know, who's going to feed her? Well, guess what? She's going to probably end up becoming nice.
Well, and that's it. So if the government's not going to take care of you and you have to rely on young people to take care of you, essentially, when yeah. you get old, because we're all going to get to a point someday where we can't take care of ourselves. And so we have a huge percentage of the population. There is more women over 35 years old without children in America right now than there has ever been. And so we have this epidemic of people who don't have children. There's nobody to take care of them. And then you have a lot of kids that aren't even. There's a lot of 40-year-olds, people my age, that can't take care of themselves. Never mind take care of, you know, a family member or an aging parent or whatever. But, you know, just like you guys were talking about education and, like, you know, and creating this libertarian society, you know, one of the things that I've been saying for a long time we need to have is we need to start building confidence in Generation Next right now. Mm-hmm. Because people who have confidence don't ask government for help. They don't ask government permission. They don't beg government. It is the people who lack confidence that are the ones that are demanding the welfare, demanding the government jobs, working in government, for example. And you'll notice that a lot of libertarians are usually pretty darn confident. Mm-hmm. And, you know, competence, people who have...
If they're confident in the principles, right? They're not so much confident in others.
So I would say generally overall, they're kind of confident people because in order to have a libertarian philosophy, you got to be confident in others.
You got to believe in self-responsibility, and it's kind of hard to want self-responsibility and not be competent and able to do things yourself.
I believe that most people want to be good, right? Mm-hmm. It's just the biggest majority in the world that people want to be good, and we all get along, right? Then you got, like, these very small percentage psychos, mm-hmm. You know, convincing other people to be psychos like them, but take right. the action.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, do the horrible things, like shooting up a place in Maine, or, you know, robbing stores because you can. Like,
or trafficking children.
As
a government agent.
We go on and on. Mm-hmm. Actually, be a cop.
Yeah.
These are psychotic methods, guys.
And you don't have to be a psychopath, like Joe was saying, that the reason I was like, yes, that's how it is. I'm always trying to convince people, and I think that Mark Passio, he explains this better than anyone else. If you want to listen to his podcast, whatonearthishappening.com, and then you go to the podcast section and start at podcast one, you'll learn all about this. Like Joe said, there's a very, very small percentage of the human race that are actually psychopaths, but being psychopaths, they learn very quickly they gotta act normal, and they can't just act on all their impulses, but they need a larger percent of people to act the way that they want to act. They make them into something called secondary psychopaths by training right. them, and then they make them do the dirty work for them.
It's like the military.
Right.
It's like the you know, the officer tells one of his, you know,
privates.
Underlings.
Privates, yeah. go shoot that guy over there. And damn, they do it.
Order takers. Order followers.
Hierarchy.
Sir, yes, sir.
Hierarchies is the biggest thing. There's someone below you and there's someone above you. I take orders and I give orders to the ones under me. It's just...
How patriotic is he, huh?
Well, Joe, I did really want to get into your trial today because we have only in one more hour plus the last few minutes of this segment. So what do you have to tell us about what went on today?
So
this has been going on for over a year. I've been really excited and I freaking slept in.
First off... If you're a witness, please turn off the show. But if you're not a witness, you can listen. There's only like three of you out there. But the prosecution, oh, what a tool. What a D-bag he was.
Is he a soy boy?
Wife beater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Well, I'm just repeating.
That's just the vibe?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, he physically at the end of we get to the end here and not just talk about the trial, but he tried walking through me.
Hmm.
He purposely bumped his laptop into my friend that he was assisting with counsel.
Yeah.
Purposely did that at the end. He knew that, you know, only the bailiff was in there and that bailiff had his back turned, so he was doing all this crap. He even threatened to dox me. He even threatened to dox me in the court.
Wow.
This is, like, absurd behavior. But anyways, if you want to get to the trial, do you have any questions about
it? This is normal for a psychopath, what you're telling
me. Oh,
so
yeah.
So why are you on trial?
I am on trial because I swung a Don Bulldog. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding.
You're
going to
cut
kidding.
That.
I'm just kidding. I never did that, actually. But, no, I was trespassed from... St. Anselm College. This was during a debate that WMUR was hosting, or they're the ones hosting the
debate.
They're
putting it on, yeah.
And putting it on, and St. Anselm was the host, right? Mm-hmm. And they didn't let my friend Jeremy Kaufman in. And so I had
and
some
he was running for the same position, but he was
correct.
Libertarian.
And so. WMUR changed the qualifier rules for the debate, so that way you couldn't have him in, even though he was a viable candidate.
WMUR is just one of these garbage puppet media, regurgentators of, you know,
Spinsters.
Operation Paperclip, whatever, stuff.
They,
absolutely.
They're so bad. They interviewed me right after Ian's thing. They just clipped some one part that made it sound like I was saying something kind of silly, and they introduced me as Ian's new wife. He's never had a wife before. They're just trying to make me look like young.
They're a garbage media outlet that's, government sponsored, so.
Well, they reported on, a day after I went to go file, charges against Don Bulldog for assault, throwing an elbow in my chest. And they were there, and they promised me while I was being interviewed, or like with the cameras off, they promised me that they were going to show the clip of Don Bulldog throwing an elbow in my chest. Well, you know what they did? They played the clip up to the point where the elbow goes into my chest.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so they lied to me.
So you're not going to be able to have it?
Did you subpoena that video?
Well, no, look, WMUR wasn't recording. Actually, the video that recorded was our friend Penguin.
Okay.
He was also there in court today. But I am going to be showing that footage if necessary. Actually, it seems, I'll tell you, the trial is looking pretty good. I don't want to put too much confidence out there because... I really feel like the judge is getting a little frustrated with me a little bit.
No, they wouldn't do that.
But she's only frustrated because I don't understand the full process, right? I'm pro se. I'm not a lawyer.
Hmm.
And it's
that's
like,
annoying.
Yeah. And it's like,
that.
The prosecutor probably objected like, I don't know, a dozen times. And like,
I think
I won most of them. But
we should take a break because I have somebody here. Unscreen caller, what's on your mind?
Well, I was just thinking, when somebody tells the audience that their opponent doesn't know what they're talking about, the cop has a right to frisk you for weapons, for example, when they have to conduct an investigatory stop. Like, let's say you're breaking into a parked car.
Called a Terry frisk.
Yeah, you have You're breaking into a parked car, but you have every right to break into your own parked car. So the cop is simply checking out, is that your car that you're breaking into, that they supposedly have a right to frisk you for weapons. And they have this thing called Terry versus Ohio.
The worst thing ever that cops use.
But then you simply say, well, opponent, please explain why you agree with that ruling. And there's stunned. They'll be stunned at the very idea that they have a choice about whether to agree with something that is vomited forth by the United States Supreme Court. Of course, the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms is there so that people can resist the coercive acts of government and fight back when necessary. So the idea that the cop supposedly has a right to disarm you, well, then what do you do if the cop tries to arrest you pursuant to an unjust law?
Can you explain, one of you guys explain what the Terry rule is? I've wondered that not too long ago. It was being talked about on the air. And
well, the Terry versus Ohio law comes from supposedly, like they were saying that these guys were casing a joint, and I think it was back in the 60s, they were casing a joint, and the cop used an excuse that, all right, this guy's just standing here for no reason. I want to at least pat him down, make sure he doesn't have any weapons. And, you know, the guy that he ended up patting down, a black gentleman, basically lost in court, and they were able to use the ruling that, yes, cops are allowed to pat you down for weapons because officer safety, and they don't even have to have a reason. No
suspicion.
At all
time, anytime, on the road.
A lot of times you hear about jump-out boys in cities, and the jump-out boys are just undercover vehicles that roll around, and then all of a sudden they stop, and they jump out, and they like, we're patting you down, we're checking you, you know?
Oh,
stop and frisk.
Stop and frisk, yeah.
Ew.
And that comes from the Terry versus Ohio. Terry
Taking,
frisk.
Sexual assaulters.
But what's really bad about
Thank
Terry...
Thank you for the call, by the way, Tom.
Terry versus Ohio is that it bridges all these other laws for, you know, suspicious activity to, you know, we get to search your vehicle. This all stems from Terry versus Ohio, the worst thing. And actually, I'm glad you brought this up. I'm sorry, Tom, we let you go so early, but no offense, Bonnie. But I think the reason why he was mentioning this is he might be a Delete Laws subscriber. And if you really want to know a lot about Terry versus Ohio, get over to Delete Laws on YouTube.
More coming up, and more about Joe's trial that we want to get into. 603-283-6160. Bring up whatever's on your mind. Ask any questions. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage, and you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.